Why would anyone leave the helicopters now? I said to myself, staring at a promo poster for the Backyard Babies' sophomore album, Total 13, which hung on the wall of the now-defunct Toronto punk rock record store, Full Blast. The Backyard Babies from Nässjö, Sweden, are a rock and roll quartet who, along with the Helicopters from Stockholm, helped ignite the Scandinavian rock revival of the 1990s. Backyard Babies guitarist Andreas Tyrone Svensson, aka Dragon, co-founded both bands and was playing in both bands until mounting schedules from either side forced a decision. Ultimately, he chose to leave behind the growing fanfare and stateside interest of the Helicopters to build it up again with his childhood buddies in the Backyard Babies. Definitely admirable, but as someone who was chasing the opportunity to make this rock thing more than just a hobby, it was baffling to me. In the mid to late 90s, garage rock was a thriving underground with bands like the New Bomb Turks, Teen Generate, The Oblivions, The Makers, The Devil Dogs, Rocket from the Crypt, The John Spencer Blues Explosion, The Super Suckers, and The Helicopters at the top of the heap. Of course, this scene eventually died down, but not before bands like The Hives and The White Stripes achieved overground success. When it comes to Scandinavia's contribution, what started with The Helicopters, Glucifer, and The Backyard Babies continues to thrive and churn out bands today like Graveyard, Kamchatka, Freefall, Bombus, Horizont, Witchcraft, Crystal Caravan, and Bullet, while Denmark's Volbeat pretty much own the rock scene in the United States. When we ended up playing with the Helicopters for their U.S. debut at the CMJ Music Festival in 1998, on the eve of their third release, Grande Rock, the lineup to get into the show snaked around the nightclub. Midway into their set, a friend leaned over to me and yelled, "They're missing their key guy." He meant Dragon. Having only seen his picture on the back of the Super Shitty to the Max Helicopters album and the Total 13 promo poster, I didn't really know what he meant, but still the question lingered with me. Why would anyone leave the Helicopters now? Flash forward 3 years later to 2001, where we found ourselves on our first European tour playing the Malmö City Festival with none other than the Backyard Babies. Now was my chance to see what was worth passing up the elusive wave of tastemaker approval and Helicopters hype. It took me only 3 minutes for me to understand. Here I was thinking Dragon's decision to leave the Helicopters, however commendable, was ill-advised and presumptuous, only to realize it was probably the best move he ever made. I watched with mouth agape as the Backyard Babies tore through their set, churning out airtight hard rock, the kind of hard rock that makes you hum while you let it kick your ass. Each member locked in a unified beat with hair whipping to and fro, veins bulging and faces in blissful grimace. And there was Dragon, near airborne, with charisma shooting out like the stars one sees after getting punched in the face. He was Johnny Thunders, Iggy Pop, Angus Young, Nikki Sixx, and Ace Frehley all mashed together. He was spellbinding. A few weeks later, we found ourselves sharing a tour bus with the Backyard Babies across Europe, supporting them, supporting their Making Enemies Is Good album. We didn't know each other past seeing each other's set, and here we were for 6 weeks in the closest of quarters on a stinky rock bus. What could have been the worst experience of my life turned into quite possibly the best tour we've ever done. The camaraderie established on this tour continues to this day. Beyond the music itself, rock and roll has always stood for freedom to me. Its lead characters embody this freedom the music only attempts to describe. So huge are these personalities that often one name is all they need. It's understood that Elvis was king, but whether people know it or not, the title of king has long been superseded by Jimmy, Keith, Ozzy, Angus, Lemmy, and Iggy. Even though it's hard to accept as each of these figures move further away from their golden years and closer to their twilight years, the inevitable search to find their heirs apparent slowly begins. However, We live in a world now where being an individual is sold to the masses in convenient starter kits, where tattoo sleeves are as pedestrian as a new hat or a new pair of pants. It's getting hard to differentiate the genuine articles from the impersonators when everything we know and hold dear inevitably gets co-opted, appropriated, gentrified, and codified. Luckily, after being able to stay above water for almost 20 years in the music biz, my bullshit detector is fit enough to wade through the most cunning of posers and capable enough to discern bona fide successors from the black market knockoffs. And it's long been discussed, but now accepted, that Dragon be included in the rock and roll roll call of its luminaries. The last time Dragon appeared on this podcast, episode number 54, back in 2013, he was poised to release his first solo album and was very excited to start on his new journey as a solo artist. His self-titled autobiography was about to be released, and the world of the Backyard Babies seemed comfortably distant in the rearview mirror. Now, 2 years later, the Backyard Babies have returned, batteries recharged with revitalized verve and energy. I caught up with Dragon while both our bands played at the Hurricane Festival in Germany this past summer to talk about the Babies' return and their new album, 4x4, to be released August 28th. I want to thank Skullcandy Headphones and Blue Mic Microphones for supporting this podcast. This podcast supports Chino Loco's restaurants for making fish burritos stuffed with chow mein noodles. And thank you for taking the time to listen to this episode on either iTunes or SoundCloud. Please leave a rating or a review on the iTunes Store too, if you can. Only if you can. Here we go. Dragon, lead guitarist of the Backyard Babies, rock and roll warrior, an all-around great guy, is this episode's guest on the official Danko Jones podcast, and it starts now. The Danko Jones podcast is the best around. They play the Guinness, Danko's go out to love for free. I'm sad, but I do sometimes. Damn it, from fucked up. Stop playing, hang down, down. I thought Danko was crazy when he told me he was from the planet Zob, but when he showed me his spaceship, I had to take a trip in it. We traveled through the solar system for what seemed like 10 years, visiting planets and battling alien races. I even reared a few alien families. When we got back to Earth, I realized that the 10-year space trip only took a few minutes back on Earth. Danko and I had some crazy times together. Neat Kloop Blot. You might not know what that means, but Danko does.
Login protocol initiated. Sequencing algorithm interface. The official Danko Jones podcast uploaded. Listen with caution. Are you sitting comfortably? Then we'll begin.
Danko Jones has a podcast. It's called the Danko Jones podcast. La da 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 da.
So you're hanging out, we're hanging out at the back of the back of our bus. I got Dragon from the Backyard Babies here. It's midsummer. I just Instagrammed a picture of you and Peter, two of my favorite Swedes spending midsummers. How you doing, man?
I'm doing good, man. It's great, and it's actually it's midsummer weather. It's pretty crappy, actually.
I've heard that all through the spring and summer, it's been shit weather in Sweden.
Yeah, it's been, well, not shit, not really rainy shit, but it's been colder
cold.
Cold.
Yeah.
So, you know, but hopefully it's going to last, the summer lasts September out instead, you know.
So the last time you were on the podcast, we did it in a restaurant. The only podcast episode we ever did in a restaurant, and you were on the eve, you had just played us your new album, Unreleased. We played on it. We were all fucking hyped. It was fucking just about to be released, and you went on tour as a singer guitarist.
So
tell me about that fucking experience.
No,
that's my life.
It was tough and fun. I had a great band, you know, like a great live band, and it was just a great experience, you know.
Who's in the band? Anyone?
It's a drummer called Hooks Nettermalm, which is they're all Swedish, an amazing drummer and a youngster on guitar, which I announcing now. I think it's going to be the new Randy Rhodes, or a 23-year-old guitar player, half Italian, half Swedish, called Michel Santunione. Related to the guy, if you remember, a man called Electric Boys. There's a rhythm guitarist called Franco Santunione, so that's his brother's son.
Because I think so there is a connection between Electric Boys, Michael Monroe, and you.
Yeah.
Or Hanoi Rocks.
No, because Connie was in the new version of Hanoi. Rock. Yeah, yeah.
And I met the lead singer, sitar, guitar player.
Yeah.
Backstage at one of our shows with you.
Oh yeah. Connie. Yeah.
So this son of the Electric Boys.
No, well his brother's son.
But he's in the family. This guy's a shredder.
Yeah. Yeah, he's a shredder, but you know, in a good taste. So you know, he's a youngster. He's super technical, but you know, he also understands what I like, what guitarist like, you know, old school. He's young, but he's like an old guy. He understands everything from, you know, fucking Jimi Hendrix to Jimmy Page. He loves like Johnny Thunders. He understands like, well, even, you know, Kurt Cobain's just, you know, the noisy shit that I love.
Yeah.
He also loved like, you know, Blackmore and all that.
How is it now, as a solo artist, taking on this like up and coming guitar player who's you see as like a star guitarist? A lot of people see you as the star guitarist in the Backyard Babies. Now you've taken the front position. Was there some sort of weird? How'd you feel?
Him
the solos. And shit.
I didn't really do that. I took most. He was more or less of a rhythm. Rhythm guitars, but no, yeah, but he was just, you know, he backing me up because he was like a lot of, you know, for me, the hard part was not playing the guitar. It was, it was to sing fucking verses, you know. I'm normally, you know, I got an image, it's like, okay, chorus, and then I play, and it's like, fuck, I got to do this. Why did I write this fucking riff? I can't sing it.
Fuck, you
know,
dude.
Yeah, I know.
That's my life every time I go on stage.
Yeah, you know, but nobody, you know, it was good for me, for the ego dragon, you know, and for my kind of, I don't know, you know, it was just a great experience, and also that I can, now, you know, for the future, I know that I can do it, you know. Because I was terrified. Like when we started to rehearse, I was like, "Fuck, I'm gonna, you know, like see, you know." For me, it was the, you know, the singing part that was hard. And then, you know, I was kind of like, so I have now I have a love-hate relationship to the mic still.
But because, you already had that.
Yeah, I know.
I remember talking to you while you guys were on tour with us.
Yeah.
And you told me you don't want to be married to the mic.
No, I know it, buddy. And I felt
you already had that.
Yeah. It was kind of like that, you know, now as well. You know, all the fucking, like, the fun parts with the guitar moves and shit.
Yeah.
You know, I felt like a stripper on that strip pole.
On the pole.
On the pole. Which was fun too, you know, but you know, I kind of like both worlds. But then, you know, and this tour took me to, you know, like two Scandinavian tours, one full European tour I did together with Imperial State Electric. We did a double headline tour around Europe.
That's a wicked bill.
Yeah, it was great. And we actually shared bus and we shared backline and we shared crew. And 5 minutes before loading, we flipped a coin of who was headlining, so it could be either. Cool. It was kind of cool because we, not even us, did know until loading what you know, band. So we didn't, you know, so everybody, the fans were there.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
That's so cool. Now, was there I never saw the tour, so was there like a kind of a reunion at the end with you?
Yeah, we did. You know, if I was headlining, he came up and joined. We did like gotta get some action, Helicopter Soul Seller,
nice.
And some covers, you know.
Also went nuts.
Yeah, it was good. It was great.
That's fucking awesome.
But then he took me to Japan, you know, and then, you know, I did the whole festival summer. But then we, me and Nicky and Peter started actually to talk during the summer about start playing together, start, well, at least start writing a new Backyard Babies album.
What would prompt you from that? Because from what, where I was standing, where we were all watching this go down, me and JC, I thought the solo album was really well received and you're getting like a really successful on it. What would prompt you to go back to the Backyard Babies at this point in time rather than follow up with a second solo album and establish yourself as a bona fide solo artist?
Well, you know, I can feel it, you know, we kind of like, it's in me, I had to do it, you know, I miss the other guys playing.
Yeah.
I miss, like, mostly not maybe, not so much maybe in the recording a solo album was more like fun in the studio in a way because it was more playful, you know. Like,
I felt that. I felt you were having a great time doing shit you were never able to do.
Yeah. And now with Backyard Babies, it's very, it's back to the, you know, kind of. But on the other hand, we haven't played together for 5 years. So for the first time, it was really joyful to, you know, we started to, you know, on the, we have like one or two songs on the new album that were riffs that we were working on already on the, you know, back in the day. One of the, yeah, that we found. It's like, this is fucking great. Why did we write this? But it was back in 2009 before we took that break. We were so tired of being Backyard Babies and the sound and doing that same fucking, so we were trying to, you know, find new ways, you know. But then, you know, when we had a break and I can, you know, relax and see, you know, even, you know, listen to Backyard Babies as, you know, you know, not as a fan, but just to try to understand what I and what we in the band are, you know, like with the band and why the you know, the fans think that Backyard Babies are fucking great. To understand that, it's kind of like, oh, yeah, this is, you know. So when we started to write new riffs, typical Backyard Babies riff, again, it was really fun to play that kind of stuff, you know, so.
So I would imagine that, you know, once the cycle of this Backyard Babies album is over.
Yeah.
You're gonna be ready to go
new solo
and do your new solo. That's, yes, I'm guessing that.
Yes,
right? Are the guys in the band aware of this?
Yeah.
They know.
Yeah.
It's all cool.
Yeah, it's all cool. You know.
So that's actually pretty cool because I was really happy for you when we were in the studio and you were here. I could feel the energy. And me and JC, we left the studio.
Yeah.
Wanting to start to write our new record.
Yeah.
I felt like I was like, fuck, let's just go home and start writing, because we were so energized by it.
Yeah,
it was really cool. Yeah, no.
But you guys made it happen, too. And for me now, it was also important, even though, because it wasn't just that, you know, I need to have Danko Jones on this, you know, it was more like the people that I invite, it's hardly no guests on the album, you know, because for me it was really important not to have, you know, singer, just, to, I don't know, to show myself that I can do this. I play all the guitars, I sing, you know, I do the whole fucking thing. But on the other hand, I've done that now, so I'm thinking of maybe doing my next album. I don't know, it's still in my head, but maybe to do it more like a project with, you know, different singers or guitarists, bass players, you know.
Now you have this, you've established this platform, you can do it.
Yeah.
You have a team, and everyone's cool.
And you know, it's kind of like Nicky's working with the radio as well as we're doing here.
That's when I found out you guys were back together. I was doing interviews, and I went to his station.
Yeah.
And he was like, yeah, me, Dragon, and Peter, Johan, we're getting back together, we're writing songs.
It's not a full-time job, but it's like, he works like one day a week, I think it is. He has his own show and stuff, and he enjoys doing that, you know. And Peter is taking, you know, photos and cameras. I think that Backyard Baby is going to be more, you know, let's say this year up until next summer, just like bang, 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 go on tour. Really, the album's coming out now, August 28th. It's called 4x4. It's an amazing album. So
I've heard one track that you.
The single is out since
on your
week.
Facebook or Instagram or something.
13 like or nothing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it sounds exactly where you guys were picking up.
Yeah.
Picking up.
Yeah.
the time, the 5 years, 6 years that have gone by, it just doesn't matter.
No, but I mean, it's great to be back with the guys, but it's just that, you know, this is in a positive way I'm saying this, but it's still like, I mean, it's exactly the same fucking four idiots that's, you know, since fucking 1989, you know.
Well, JC was like, he went up to Johan this morning, or whenever.
Yeah.
How's the tour going? And then Johan's like, same old stuff. This happened.
Yeah.
We're like, of course it is, man.
Yeah, it's just like...
It's about your babies.
Yeah, so... And, you know, but on the other hand, like, during this 5 years, now everybody's kind of like, you know, have family, got kids, are married and stuff, but it's not that, you know, that like the belief we have with this band is exactly the same as when we started back in 1989. Mm-hmm. Now, you know, we got fucking cars with, you know, the children, what do you call it, stools or chairs inside of it, you know, coming to rehearsals. And, you know, when we started rehearsals, we came on fucking bicycles and mopeds, you know, because we were 15. But, you know, like my top 20 albums or 30 or Peter's, Nick and Johan's, you know, it's not that we are, oh my god, did we listen to this, you know, when we were 15? Oh, I'm so embarrassed that I was there, you know, it's for us, it's kind of like maybe we were extremely narrow-minded, but you know, for me, it's my, you know, those 30 albums is albums that I still love, you know.
Yeah.
And so we don't, you know, and during this 5 years, it's not that, you know, that Peter has, you know, he's still a great drummer, but, you know, he joined the Islamic State and he's going to war, and, you know, or someone's been super Christian or something. Like, it's just that, like, the mindset is just that, that's, you know, and Nick is sober, thank God. No, but I mean, in a good way, you know, he's been sober for 6 years now.
Yeah.
And, you know, which is great for him, and he, you know, he's happy.
Yeah.
And,
Doesn't he do horses? He rides horses now or something?
Yeah.
I saw something on Facebook.
Yeah.
Where he's got, is he a jockey or something?
No, yeah, well, I don't know what you call it. He jumps fucking things.
Oh, like those equestrian?
Yeah, he's like a fucking the new Zebulon McCain of Sweden.
Is that his main, like... He's got the radio, he's got the horses.
Yeah.
And
I guess it's like, you know,
backyard.
Yeah, instead of, you know, hitting nightclubs and shit, you know, he's hitting the stable.
Yeah. No, I've seen Nicky.
Yeah.
You know, when...
Yeah.
All his glory.
Yeah.
I was like, holy shit, man. This guy is...
Nothing but he's raging. He's full on, as always.
Full on. Whether it's drinking or horses or radio.
Yeah.
When I went to the station... I saw him, and then we chatted a bit, and then he left.
Yeah.
And all the DJs were like, this guy comes in, he's got all his notes.
Yeah.
He's more professional than all the quote-unquote professional DJs.
Yeah.
He's got it all.
Yeah.
And then I think a lot of people don't know this about Nicky, but when we shared a bus together, Nicky had everything, like, everything's in place. With
Nicky. Yeah.
Like, there's nothing.
Yeah. I think that's a good thing, and I think that... That maybe was a part of, you know, it might be some kind of a, you know, we all have some kind of diagnosis, I think, you know. So maybe... So maybe that was, you know, like, the kind of, like, drugs and drinking part was also a way of him to let those things go, you know, because he loves places in order, then he could just, like, fuck it, you know.
Right.
But now he's accepted that he, you know, my places, I like, well, my places are in order, and now, you know, like, now they're fucking in order.
Oh, this is like... Well, this is like if they move it here, he'll quietly move it back. No, it's
cool. But I mean, it's the same for me. So, I mean, I guess that we are in the middle of like the, it's still, you know, organized chaos. It's been all the way, but now I guess it's, you know, when we're rehearsing, like, you know, lunch until six, it's not anymore like a couple of years, you know, 10 years ago it could be like, well, where is that, have anybody seen Johan, he's been gone for 3 days now, you know,
everyone's like,
yeah, it's kind of like we're gonna show up at that time when we said it. It's gonna happen now,
right.
It's more kind of like organized, but so I'm a happy camper, you know, like, because it's you know, I got like, you know, two worlds in a way, you know.
Yeah.
Because I thought that maybe I'm going to hate this solo thing. It's like, no, never, you know, because I love being in a band too, but I also love the thing with being like in charge of a, like, not that I don't want to have, like, Dragon is starting a band, I want to have a touring band, but it's going to be like my, it's my fucking word. When I say I want it this way, it should sound like this, you know?
Did you learn a lot with your stay in Michael Monroe's band? Is that where you were able to get the confidence to strike out?
Or? Yeah, and also, you know, I think it you know, because I only been playing with like Backyard Babies and the Helicopters, so it's not that many musicians. But then, you know, touring with Michael Monroe as I did during this break as well, I've learned so much, like, as a musician, and also able, you know, sometimes some people like it, maybe some people don't, but I learn a lot with playing with other people, you know. You hit it like that, you know, and which just gives me, you know, I miss Michael Monroe as well. It's that, you know, but I guess that I'm just, I'm a lucky guy. It's not that, you know, fuck, this is my, well, this is, the money's got to roll, you know, this is my work. But, you know, I had, you know, we had great time, made great thing. So we haven't said it. I mean, if there would be time for me, I would love to do both, Michael. All three, Michael, solo, Backyard. But it's just that, you know, I got a family, and, you know, and I want to spend more time at home when I can as well. So,
yeah,
you know, so, yeah.
I mean, the time that I saw you with Michael, with Michael's band was phenomenal.
Yeah, where was that?
It was in Toronto.
Oh, that was in Toronto. Yeah, yeah.
The Mod Club.
Yes, yes.
It was phenomenal. You know, Michael's such a great front man. And a lot of people don't know this about Michael. Maybe they do in Finland, but he's like total pro. Like,
yeah.
No drinking, no drugs. Like, no, he's,
yeah.
Now, as a newly anointed solo artist, you were saying before we started rolling, you're like, I had to get 8 hours sleep or you know, shit fucks up.
Yeah.
Like, does Michael adhere to that kind of rules?
Yeah, but, you know, I don't know. He's a fucking machine, you know, like, he's... People don't realize it, but his birthday was yesterday, actually. I think he turned 53 or 54. So.
Holy.
And, you know, when I come to rehearsal, oh, my back is in a pain, you know, he's fucking on rehearsals, he's like doing down on fucking splits, and where's Michael? And he's climbing up on the roof, that's it, and this is doing rehearsals. I watched this guy change shoes 7 times during one song at rehearsals one time.
Really?
Yes. Sammy's like, look at this, you know, because we were out somewhere, and we were out shopping, and he bought a lot of shoes. And then during one song, he tried them all while singing at the same time, you know. He's like, he's my brother from another mother.
Because I saw him, I saw Hanoi Rocks play in Finland, I think, for Anchor Rock one year. And he was backstage as the fucking intro music was going, backstage still trying out jackets.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was just watching this. I'm like, are you, I think it was me and JC.
Yeah.
Are you seeing this shit?
Like, yeah.
Look him go. And he was just trying on. He had a mirror backstage.
Yeah.
While the intro music.
Yeah, yeah, I know. I mean, in the beginning, first months, I was for fuck, we're going to make, you know, come on. Like, you know. And Sammy Yaffa said, no worry, he'll make it. It's been like this for 35 years, you know. And he's never been late. He always makes it on time.
Really?
But yeah.
I remember when I sang, you guys brought us up to sing Friends.
Yeah.
2003.
Yes.
In Finland.
Yeah.
So it was me, Nina Persson, and then Michael Monroe.
Yeah, yeah.
And so we're on side stage, you guys are about to start the song, and then Michael goes, I just meet this guy. I've known him since I was a teenager.
Yeah.
And then I'm meeting him right now where I'm going to sing with him.
Yeah.
And he goes, all right, you're singing with me? I go, yeah, man. Hey, great to meet you. He goes, cool. I'm taking center. Okay. There's no discussion about this. That's fine.
I'm not going to argue. Yeah,
me and Nina, we sang our line, then we stayed for the...
Yeah.
He sings his line right off the top, and he goes, see you later, bye! what the fuck was this, man? Yeah. So yeah. Do I leave or do I stay, man?
Yeah, yeah.
So he was on, I mean, he is on fire without any aids.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, he doesn't need any help.
No.
The guy's on fire.
Yeah, yeah.
Does he work out or look? Does he?
Yeah, he does. But you know, it's also you know, like it's actually like a genuine fucking passion for rock and roll music. It's not. I mean, he is like on a bus here. It's like music. Like, listen to music. Like, he knows everything. He's like an elf. He never forgets anything either. Like, he knows everything. Like,
did you say he's like an elf?
Elephant.
Oh, an elephant.
It's like an elf. Well, I don't know. Maybe.
He just like fucking... I remember we shared this small little plane ride to some festival somewhere. Not in Finland. Somewhere. Years ago. With Hanoi Rocks.
Yeah.
And someone was in the washroom.
Mm-hmm.
Using the toilet. And Michael had to go. And he was just... He stood up and he's just... He doesn't stop moving.
The guy
doesn't stop moving.
Yeah,
no. I thought he was on something.
Yeah.
And then I heard like he's completely clean. He's
I've never seen Michael walk in my entire life. Like never walk.
What?
He doesn't. He runs everywhere.
And we played doesn't with matter. Him once in Spain. He had a broken foot.
Yeah.
Dude was climbing the scaffolding.
Yeah.
That's fucking crazy.
Yeah.
I can't even go center stage without. Yeah. Oh, this is too far.
Yeah. No, but as I say, I mean, so this, you know, and I have been doing some because like the band was, you know, great with Carl Rockfist on drums and Steve Conte and Sami Yafa and you know and riding together and was you know, it was a good band, like creative band together and sounded good and so. So
I thought you guys really loved playing with each other too.
Yeah, yeah. So a couple of months ago, it was actually because now Rich Jones from Toronto, Black Halos.
He was in Black Halos, so from Vancouver, I think.
Oh, maybe it's Vancouver. I think he lived in Toronto for a while.
I'm sure.
Yeah,
and he was also in Amen, I think.
Yes.
Yeah.
Sweetheart, great guy. So he's now took over my place in the band.
Right.
And they just recorded in Stockholm, Sweden, the new album, produced by Chips Keesby from Sator, same guy that did some Helicopters albums.
Yeah.
So I'm curious about that. But then Steve Conte had to go on, I think he was on vacation or something. And then we got two gigs in Russia. And it was like fast. We need to say, you know, yes or no to these gigs within like a day or two. And then you know, Steve called me up and said, "Hey, can you do these two gigs?" So then I went over now with Michael Morose. It was me and Rich Jones on guitar with Sami Yafa. So we did two shows now in Russia, St. Petersburg and Moscow.
When did that happen?
Like a couple of months ago.
Oh shit!
Yeah. So you know, when I find time, I would love to write with those guys again. And you know, of course, I would love to do a tour too. So,
yeah. That's a coveted slot because you were taking over from Ginger.
Yeah. Yeah.
So there's a real heavy lineage now in that slot. I mean,
yeah.
There's some big shoes to fill.
Yeah.
So how was Rich?
Great.
Yeah.
Fucking great.
Yeah.
More of a. I think he's gonna fit the band really well because he's more of a like punk rocker in a way than.
Yeah.
Maybe I got some of the like, I don't know, blues into the punk rock in a way. You know. The
Black Halos were kind of like that. Like.
Yeah.
Very punk rock.
Yeah.
More of the rock and roll side of how punk rock.
Yeah, and I think the Rich is, you know, technically a better riffy guitar player than me, like more of a shredder than me.
More of a shredder, right?
Yeah,
you're more rock and roll.
Yeah, so.
And that's another thing that's, you know, people got to understand. There's two schools.
Yeah.
And the other one, they balance each other.
Yeah.
You know.
Because
you know, there's only so much shredding we all can take
But also, you know, you gotta give like Steve Conte. I've never played with a guitarist that, I mean, he's fucking out of his, he's really really good.
And he did a stint with the new revised New York Dolls.
Yeah, him actually, both him and Sami Yafa. And Sami Yafa.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So it was, that's how Sami and Steve Conte met. They started in New York Dolls when they did the reunion together.
Yeah.
So it was Sami and Steve Conte and then Sylvain and David Johansen, of course.
Oh, wow.
So,
okay.
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
But then when, I don't know what happened, and then, you know, then they went over to Michael Monroe's band when he was getting, like, because Michael, you know, he was kind of like, of course, he did solo albums straight after Hannah Rock, but then it was almost at the, I think the beginning of 2000s, you know, he wasn't doing anything for years and years, so he had like a long break as well. With getting kind of actually, you know, I think that he says this in his book and stuff. I mean, because he hasn't been like clean living his whole life. So I think actually he took himself together and got totally sober and clean for a couple of years and, you know, went out with a fucking bang with a great sensory overdrive. And then that, which Ginger was part writing and recording. And then I was part writing, recording Horns and Halos.
Yeah, right.
And yeah.
That's, yeah.
Yeah.
Because a guy like Michael Monroe, if he's away from the spotlight, what the fuck is that guy going to do?
Yeah, yeah.
He can't work at a dry cleaner.
Yeah, no. No.
You can't go under the radar.
It's no, like, no.
Have you seen the new guy working at the dry cleaners across the street?
That's Michael.
Have you seen that guy?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, people who don't even know who Michael Monroe is will be like, have you, look at that guy.
Yeah, he can. Yeah, he can work.
Who's that guy, man? Yeah. So that's cool. Well, that's great, man. Like, I mean, I'm really happy. I can't wait to hear the new Backyard album.
Yeah. Well, we started, you know, it's been pretty fast. You know, like I said, you know, I was touring the whole summer solo.
Yeah.
And we knew already that we're going to start, like, 1st of September, more or less, with Backyard Babies. So it was fun. You know, Peter hasn't been, like, for real, like, he hasn't hit one fucking hit on a drum since we did the last show in Osaka, Japan, spring 2010, like, 5 years. So they fucking, like, from the snare, it just, like, came up like dust and shit, you know?
That's
amazing. And, you know, it was wobbly for, like, 5 minutes, and it was almost like bicycling. So, oh, here we go, you know, back on it.
Well,
and then we started to write, and, you know, well, it's more or less exactly a year later. I think the album is being mastered right now. So yeah.
Right, right. Wow, that's really interesting. I mean, I remember when we toured together in 2009.
Yeah.
And Peter, I could kind of sense he wanted to spend time at home, anyways.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
For a long, long time.
Yeah, yeah.
And so, did he get it out of his system?
Like, yeah, but I felt, you know, for me it was kind of like, I don't really know, you know, it was mostly Nicky that wanted to have the break, which I thank him for now, because if we didn't, you know, if we shouldn't have taken that break, I think that, you know, we could have done another decent album, I think so, and a pretty okay tour. But then, you know, I think that there would be no more Backyard Babies, you know. And it was just not just, you know, you know, that we didn't get along. It was just that we were so fucking worn out of touring, doing album touring. It was going on for like, I don't know, 12, 15 years, non-stop. Right. And before that, you know, we've been same four guys since 1989. So I felt on that tour, you know, sometimes, you know, friends came up to me after, like, wow, what a fucking great gig tonight. And I was like, oh, thank you. Like, and then some nights I was like, well, good to see you. You were not, you know, the gig was okay, but not so good tonight. And I was like, okay, well, I couldn't tell when I walked off stage, was this a good gig? Was it a bad gig? I was just like, I was like a fucking machine, just, you know.
I mean, I know when we first started touring with the Backyard, with you guys, first few nights, I figured it out after a while. This is just your process, but the first couple nights, you guys were yelling at each other.
Yeah, we still do.
Yelling, like if you didn't, because we didn't know you very well, the tour just started. We're like, how long is this tour going to last? These guys are going to break up in 3 days. The way you guys were just yelling at each other.
I know.
And then by the mid of the tour, I'm like, oh, this is every night.
We do. We have done that for 27 years.
Yeah.
After every show. Like, that's how we talk about the show.
Yeah.
Sometimes
we're yelling at each other.
Yeah.
You did this, Ryan, you did that, and you did that.
Yeah.
And I remember I walked in, and I think it was the second show was in Zurich. And I walked in, hey, guys, great. And then you guys didn't even see me. You were just yelling at each other. Holy shit, I just get out.
Yeah.
And I think by the end of the tour, I'd just be like, take a chair.
Yeah.
Wait till you guys calm down.
But, you know, it's like I said, you know, 27 years, same four guys. There's never been a single, like, you know, like a single fist or a, like never. We never. I mean, we've been yelling a lot, but never any like. So I don't know. You know, it's our way. But I think that, you know, sometimes we do. It's pretty professional because I can be angry of Johan of something here at the backstage when he does something, you know.
Yeah.
And but then, you know, we can yell, but then we know like 10 minutes before the show, it's like, fuck that, now it's showtime.
Yeah, yeah.
So I don't, you know, I can let that go, you know. But then after the show again, you mother, you know. But and also the same thing when we are writing songs, for example, we're yelling about something that are in the music, you know, and we can, you know, fucking throw things at each other almost like in the rehearsal place. But then after rehearsals, it's all good, you know, because it has to do with the music. And also, you know, rather that than have four fucking silent guys that are, you know, I mean, we are arguing because everybody wants this song we're working on to be as fucking best possible, you know?
Yeah.
So it's better than, you know.
So when you were writing with Michael Monroe, was it like, wow, nobody's yelling at each other?
Kind of, yeah.
Were you like, oh, this is great? Or yeah. Was this like, this is bullshit?
Yeah. But, you know, well, actually, writing with Backyard Baby is not that much yelling. I think it's a lot of adrenaline when you know, with Backyard Baby.
Right.
I think, you know, like, Backyard Babies is a lot about energy as well, you know? And so... Well, you're gonna love the new album. It's got everything that, you know, Backyard Babies has been about. You know, ever since you know, it's kind of diverse, but still Backyard Babies sounding. We got like punk rockers, we got heavy ones, we got
slow. And pop for the.
Yeah, I think it's way, you know, songwriting wise, it's our best. You know, and it was so, you know, really smooth too. Well, I guess that we've learned something in almost 30 years now. When I listen back, you know, to old demos and stuff, this is not so long ago, but, you know, for the Stockholm Syndrome album, we had like, we recorded working on like maybe 40 songs, you know, 30, you know. Right. And some of those are just like, why did we even bother to work with this fucking riff, or like, this is shit, you know. But we were still, oh, maybe it's gonna happen, you know. I mean, that stuff nowadays is just, you know, the songs that are on the album are the ones that we were working on, because it's just, you gotta kill your darlings way, we do that way quicker now.
Right.
Well, you know.
Yeah.
That doesn't
fly. If it doesn't come in 5-10 minutes,
yeah,
it's never going to come.
No, exactly.
And the best songs are the ones you write in like 20 minutes.
Yeah.
Like from beginning to end.
Yeah.
Those are always the best ones, yeah. I always feel.
Yeah. So, yeah, 28th of August, 4x4, it's cool. So, 4x4, it's kind of like, you know, this band is very much, we can do it without Peter or without Johan, but it's just becoming like, you know, 4x4 as in four-wheel drive, you can say, that you know, like, every wheel is, like, you know, is pulling the fucking thing.
Yeah.
But also you can think of it that, you know, if one wheel falls off, the other three is still going to move the vehicle, you know, so it's kind of like, yeah.
What was the reception of your solo album from the other guys?
Good.
Yeah.
It was... But you know, it's kind of like, it's like back. I mean, we don't really talk about stuff.
Right.
You know, we just take our fist, put it in our pocket, and just keep on going. You know. So.
Did they come out and see your tour?
Yeah, they did. Not really. No, Nicky came to Stockholm.
Yeah.
I think that, you know, Peter was the guy that just wanted to. He was just like waiting around, come on, when are we gonna, when's the bus going, you know?
Right.
He wanted to.
Right.
And Johan is Johan, you know. He's just floating around.
Right. Yeah.
So when are you gonna, you know, Johan, are you ready for this? Like, you can call me anytime, man. If this would have taken 27 years, I could have just called Johan. Rehearsals tomorrow. All right, I'll be there.
Fucking haven't talked to him, haven't seen him in 25 years.
Yeah, yeah.
Hey.
He's gonna be there.
That's great, man.
Yeah.
That's cool. I know you guys are like, you know, I know the whole thing about dudes being dudes.
Yeah.
And not getting emo about shit. I'm kind of like that myself.
Yeah.
But I also recognize the fact that the Backyard Babies are the four guys that are in the band,
yeah,
and that's it.
Yeah.
And you know, any kind of substitute. There's a window where a band can substitute players, and it's okay. But when you go on for as long as you guys have, there's just, it can't be done anymore.
No, it's just that, you know, why?
It has to be those four.
Yeah, I think so too, you know. Yeah. It's almost like it's a, you know, I'm the only child as well. I don't have any brothers or, you know, sisters. So for me, it's kind of like I treat them as, it's almost like family, you know?
Yeah, I was going to say.
So it's not that they are my best friend. Of course, they are, but I mean, it's not that I'm going to, I come home on Monday, I ain't going to call Peter and ask him home for a coffee, you know? But, you know, sometimes we hang out when it's been taken a while, but it's more like, yeah, like family, actually.
Yeah.
Which, you know, I love these guys. I mean, these guys are the only ones, if Nicky actually, you know, I can... you know, be so fucking angry of that guy, you know how he is, but I mean, you know, if he fucking robs the bank here and the police, he does something stupid, I'm always gonna have his back, even if he's wrong,
right,
I'm gonna fucking take his back, you know,
yeah,
because he's my brother,
right,
you know. But it doesn't always, you know.
You don't want to call him on Wednesday.
Exactly.
I fucking want to do that either.
Yeah,
man.
So.
Well, Dragon, thanks for coming down to the bus.
Thank you so much, and thank you, Dago, for an excellent show.
Fucking, you're gonna kick ass tonight. I will be there
in about 2 hours.
Fuck.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll let you do your pre-show thing, and
I will. I'm gonna go hang out with Nicky Borg now.